going to be preaching the blessing at Christmas today and also the week after Christmas. The message is called the Blessing Challenge. So when you've got the after Christmas blues and you feel challenged, make sure you get in here that weekend because I've got some good word for you, ready to talk to you and teach you about how to go through the challenges of life. That'll be the week after Christmas. Then starting in the new year, the series title is going to change, but the idea is not going to change. We're going to call it The Blessing for Life. And we're going to work hard at becoming a church that receives and gives the blessing. You will learn something today. You will see something today that you can put into your life that will make a huge difference to people around you. And I am so excited. I've been waiting to do this message ever since we started the series because this is where I've been aiming to go, because I want us to learn to live in a way that's not the curse. Y'all had it with the curse. When I talk about the curse, I talk about dysfunction, anxiety, fear, depression, disconnection, no communication, negativity. The list goes on and on. Anybody tired of that? Would there be anybody here that say, I love that stuff, I can't wait? That might be your problem. You see, if you've never received the blessing, you don't know how to live in the blessing. And today I want to make sure that you know how to receive it and to give it, as today we talk about give the blessing. We have outlines. Doug's got some if you'd like one. As we begin to read the scripture, put your hand up and he'd be glad to bring you one. I appreciate you back there every weekend, Doug, to help us out. And I appreciate those of you that follow along and write these things down. You might say, I'm not a writer. However you do it, writing, phones, computers, I don't care how you do it. The point is, if you write something down or do something like that, you're more apt to remember it. And we don't want church service to be something we experience and go our way. We want it to be something that affects us and stays with us. Isn't that right? And already, we've been blessed this morning already. Wasn't this music fantastic? Man, these singers just got up here and knocked it out of the park. And I just can't say enough of how much I appreciate all of you and the work that you do here in the ministry. I'm going to read today from Genesis 27. Let me give you the story just a little bit. This is where Isaac is old and he can't see well, and he's blessing his son Esau, at least he thinks he is. But come to find out, he's blessing Jacob instead. And this story, many of us have read and learned since we were a child in Sunday school or Bible school. And we know the story and we've read about it, but we really haven't thought about all of the ramifications of that word blessing and why it is that this dad is putting his hands on his 40-year-old son and kissing him and saying something over him that's called the blessing. And I want to take that as our starting place, and then I want to look at some of the history of the blessing throughout the Bible and then show you the actions that accompany the blessing and then demonstrate it for you today, all right? It's a great, great passage of Scripture. The Bible says in Genesis 27, 28 and 29, says, may God, this is Isaac talking to his son, may God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness. Isn't that a great word to say? I mean, wouldn't it be good to say to somebody, say, you know, you look at your family member, your child, or your somebody that's close to you, doesn't have to necessarily be a family member to give the blessing. I've done this a lot with a lot of folks, a lot of young people, pronounce blessing over them because maybe they didn't have a dad in their life that could do it, but I thought, I can do it. In the name of Jesus, I can bless anybody I want to bless. And the blessing is stronger than the curse, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Isaac saying, may God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. And may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed. And those who bless you be blessed. Isaac is speaking prophetically over Jacob, thinking that it's Esau. And in his particular case as a patriarch, he wasn't just a patriarch, but he was also an Old Testament prophet. So his words had great meaning. But I would say to you that you might not think that you are a prophet, but your words today, even now, because we have received the same blessing that God gave Abraham, that God gave us through Jesus Christ, you have the ability to speak these things over your kids. Speak good things. And we need to learn to do that. I want to open the message before I even get to this introduction by telling you that there's a young man that we've been praying for here in the church. Probably at some time in the past, I might have actually laid my hands on this young man and gave this young man my blessing. He's been a young man who has grown up in our church, and he's very serious about his relationship with God, and he's been in the hospital for maybe 40 days, and I think he's home now. We have prayed for him and done what we can to help him, and you've been reading about that in the bulletin, and I'm sure he's watching today. Josh, we bless your name, young man. But Josh told me this morning, he said, I want to give a blessing to Eastland. And so, Michael, if you'll put that picture on the screen. Y'all getting that? Can you imagine being in the hospital for more than a month and having that kind of attitude? How can that man have that attitude? I can tell you how that man can have that attitude. He is focused on heaven more than he is on his circumstances. Somebody can say amen right there. Okay? Here's the blessing from Joshua Lanier to the church. I want to thank you all for the support you have given me. I have gone through everything recently. This has by far been one of the toughest things I have faced, yet you have helped me know that I can conquer anything I am faced with. I want you all to know that it is through all of this the church has proven why we must be part of a body like this, and that the church is more than just a building. I have been humbled more than words could ever express by our church. As you all have blessed me, I have been able to see God do things with people that I would not have imagined. I have seen nurses and doctors have their hope restored and truly be baffled at how someone could maintain through so much. My boss now reminds me that God is still working things out when he knows I'm having a bad day. People from all across the country have seen what Eastland has been doing and are growing in their faith as a result. I am truly grateful for all of you and for everything that you do. Once again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you all for everything, no matter how small you may feel it was. I am grateful more than you all know. Let's praise God together. Amen. Thank you, brother. And thank you, media team, that allows us to stay connected with people wherever they are. Amen. So let's talk about what's going on here with Isaac blessing Jacob. There are three words that I use to describe five elements of the blessing. Let me make sure you understand where I'm coming from. Three words, say three words. That I use to describe five elements. Say five elements. Okay, three words, five elements. And the first time here in the introduction, I'm going to have you fill in the three words. And toward the end, I'm going to have you fill in the five elements. Because when the blessing is given, listen to me. When the blessing is given, these elements are present. You see this in the Old Testament patriarchs. You see this in Jesus' life, and you see this, and we'll see this today. When you see Isaac blessing Jacob, three words. Word number one is connection. Say connection. Isaac looked at his son, and he said, "Come near to me and kiss me, my son." Now, that sounds a little strange to us, maybe. I don't know how your family is, but in many families, they don't kiss their adult children. In Latino families, they do this quite regularly. In the East, they do this quite regularly. They don't stop kissing their children when they grow up. They kiss their children. I've seen it more times than I can count, how the grown adults that I work with in these other countries come in, and when they find their father, They walk up to their father and they kiss him on the cheek. This is just commonplace. And it is something that's been going on since way back before Jesus even came into the world. It's called the blessing of connection. Come here and kiss my father. Not only that, but they shared a meal together. Eating together is a form of fellowship. Did you know that? Some of us here love fellowship. Amen? You know what I've noticed is we generally don't go out to eat with people that we don't like. Somebody can say amen. I mean, nobody after church today is going to say, hey, I really can't stand that guy. You want to go to lunch? You know, we don't typically do that. We typically go to lunch with people we like, or at least we pretend we like them. Amen? And real fellowship is not make-believe. It's not put on. Real fellowship connection is genuine from the inside. And here they're eating together. Jacob brought some savory meal to his father, and they're sharing that time together. So you have connection. And might I say to you today, you can never give the blessing without connection. If you're not connected to the people that you're trying to bless, it won't happen. You know, I'm standing here as the pastor of a church, and I don't know everybody on a very close and personal basis. I know many of you, but there might be someone here that I don't know that completely, in depth. And I could look at you and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you the blessing. And they might say, you know, he's a pastor of the church, he can do that. But most people don't have that type of role. And so if you just walk up and down the street and say, I'm going to give you my blessing, people might just say, I'm going to stay on the other side of the street. Because there's no connection. And can I tell you, if you're seeking to bless your children and you don't connect with them, it's going to be hollow. Jesus connected with us. The Bible says he came from heaven to earth and he became as we are to connect with us. You might say, Jesus doesn't understand where I'm at. Oh, he does. Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and Jesus suffered the same types of things that we suffer with. You ever been alone? Jesus has been alone. You've ever hurt? Jesus has hurt. You ever been rejected? Jesus has been rejected. In fact, as much as the God-man could, he experienced hopelessness when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So when you think about God being somewhere else, he is not somewhere else. He is here and he is present and he knows your situation and he's ready to connect with you. Connection goes into the next, which is communication. Say communication. You cannot bless without communicating. Communication is a couple of things. It's the spoken word. Isaac was speaking to his son. Speaking. Sometimes we walk around and say, well, our kids know how we feel. And I'm like, do they? I imagine if I talked to most of you today, I could ask you, what kind of messages did you get from your parents? Did you get the message from your parents that you're just a person that messes everything up? That you're just a loser? That you can't do anything right? Were you raised in a home where you only got the blessing from your parents when you did something good? If that's true, then you've got performance-based acceptance and you've got a lack of blessing in your life. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't always do things good. And we don't always succeed at what we do. And our children need to know that they're loved by us, not just because they can sing or shoot a basketball or some kind of performance thing, get a great grade in their school. They need to know that they're special from us because we simply count them as valuable. They are created in the image of God and given to us. And God loans them to us for a little while, and they are precious in the sight of God. And they're precious in our sight. And we need to make sure that we're, with our spoken words, communicating things of value to those children. You have here the spoken word and the special future. Isaac looked at Jacob and said, this is what your future is going to look like. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the blessing. Let me tell you what you can't do. You can't look at your child and say, you know, you're going to be the president. or you're going to be a big music star. Because we really don't know that, do we? But what we can do is find the way they're made. We can give them tools and say, this is the way you can live your life. You see, when I was young, a few years ago, I heard it. May the Lord bless you, brother. I don't guess I need that. It's overrated anyway. When I was young, I remember I got a guitar. Thank you, Krista. I got a guitar, I don't know, when I was 10 years old. I don't know. I don't even remember how old I was. Karen, my sister, might remember. I don't know. It's been a few years, I guess. And I remember learning to play the guitar. And by the time I was a sophomore or junior in high school, I had a rock band that was going places. Yeah. If you described us in one word, it would be this: loud. We knew how to be loud. And I had these ideas that that's what I'm going to do. And then when I got a little older, I found out if you go to some of these places that are open late at night, they'll pay you money to play your guitar. I'm like, sounds good to me. And so I'm off and running. I mean, I did some studio work. We actually cut a record years ago, and at one time my band was one of the most popular bands in Paducah. We played all over the clubs in Paducah. And that's the way I started. But no one told me I was going to be that. I just got that in my head. But guess what? That isn't what God's plan for me was. But God did give me music. And my parents gave me that. I remember being about 8 years old in one of those old little organ things. It was called a Magnus chord organ. And only about five of us know what that is. There's a keyboard and buttons over here that you push for the chords. And it was sitting on the table, and I walked up there and played a hymn that we sang in church. And my parents were like, oh, he has music. They got me an upright piano. And next thing I know, a woman was coming in there with a ruler to slap my hands, to get my hands up. But they gave me that, and my dad had a guitar, and he showed me some chords. They gave me that gift. But it wasn't so that I could be the big rock star and make a lot of money. I can't even get my picture on the cover of Rolling Stone. But I want to tell you what it is. What God did give me was music, and guess what? I got to do that here for His glory today. Amen? But that's what the spoken word is. You have to find out how your kids are made. I remember, I mean, all my kids have music. It came through my parents. It's now in my kids, and I mean, I don't know. We were living in Henry, Tennessee, and it was Christmas time, and I don't know why I thought this, but I thought, I think my boys are going to be able to play the guitar. And so one year for Christmas, I bought both of them what's called a Fender Strat Pack. It was a cheap, downsized version of the Fender Stratocaster with a little bitty amp, a cool strap, and a cool pick. I think when Ryan was little, a baby, he called it a pig. He couldn't say pick. But I got on those guitars, and I showed them something. And that year, they learned to play one thing on the guitar, and it was hymn 275, Jesus Freak. And they played it with one finger. And you know what happened? I began to show them things, and I put some commitment, which is the next word, the commitment to teach them, to show them how. And you know what? Today, all of my children can play instruments. All of them can sing. As you all know, Carissa comes up and just knocks it out of the park. Amen? Amen? And I want to tell you something about Carissa. I wasn't intending to do this, but when she sings, she's not singing just to perform to you. She's singing out of the depths of her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, of which I could not be any prouder at all. Because it's not about making lots of money, and it's also not about the applause of people. Look, we don't mind clapping your hands. In fact, it helps us to sing for you, and it helps us to preach to you. But at the end of the day, we're doing this for an audience of one, praise God. And when you do that, and then people in here, which I think you are, you people here in this church are some of the best people on the planet. You are. If you believe that, go ahead and clap, okay? Because I believe it. Okay, it feels like we're patty caking this morning, all right? As this sermon goes on and you get excited about something, let it happen, okay? Because you all are. You guys have been so good to us. And you, when you come together on Sunday, you're not here for the show. You're here to worship God. And I love being a part of a church like that. I'll tell you, not everywhere's like that. And we're living in a day right now when it's almost like bigger and flashier is better. No, I think better hearts is better. And I like being around you all because that's how you are. But we're going to learn this year. We're going to become people that's going to do it here, and we're going to do it in our homes. And what we're going to show you today can be done here in the church, or it can be done at home. It can be done anywhere. But what I want you to do is just do it. Are y'all ready to learn something today? Ready? That was the introduction. Some of you, even Toby's like, you're like my dad now, you know. My wife said, where's the blessing? I'll show you where it is. That guy serves the Lord. And when he comes in, he comes in and he's been in his word. And he's here to give you the word of God. And I can trust him every time to be faithful to God's word. There's the blessing. And I'm proud to have you in my family. All right, so here's the accounts of the blessing. Let's go through it. I'll have the scriptures on the screen. First, there was God blessing Adam. I think I missed one of the scriptures. It should be Genesis 1:28, I think. But let me just go ahead and read 27. God blesses Adam. He created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And the Bible says in verse 28 that God blessed them. Say the word bless. So when God created Adam and Eve, he blessed them. Next, we see God blessing Abraham. At the time, his name was Abram. Genesis 12:2. He says to Abram, I will make you into a great nation. And I will, what's the word? Bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a what? Blessing. Okay, are we getting something today? How many of you have been blessed by God? Come on, I want to hear it. Yeah. All right. If you've been blessed, now what does God want from you? To be a, say it loud. Okay, now Abraham struggled in this, and this is what I'm going to preach to you about in a couple of weeks, because he struggled with this. He immediately, after his blessing, he began to doubt God. We've all been there, right? But look here in Genesis 15, God comes back and reminds Abraham of his blessing. And it might be that you today, that God is here to remind you that he hasn't forgotten about you. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Everything that God had promised to Abram had not come true yet. But God said, don't be afraid. But I say to you today, don't be afraid. If God's blessing you, the blessing is way more powerful than the curse. You can't lose. You have God blessing Adam, God blessing Abram. You know what I was interested to know? I tried to find in the Bible how Abram blessed Isaac, but I didn't find it. I found that that Abraham gave everything he had to Isaac, but it doesn't say he specifically blessed him. But notice this, Genesis 25, after Abram's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai-Roi. That's a great word to say. Say that three times and see how it works. Yeah, I didn't do very good. I should have cut that part out, right? God blessed his son Isaac. So God blessed Adam, God blessed Abram, God blessed Isaac. And then in our story today, you find Isaac blessing Jacob. Are y'all following the timeline? The blessing is coming down. Some of you might say, seems to be only for the men. In some ways, in the prophetic line of the patriarchs, yes, there was a particular blessing that came to the men. But I want to show you that even the women received the blessing. You see, when Abram was old, he sent a servant to find a wife for Isaac. And this servant found a lady named Rebekah. And before Rebekah went home to marry Isaac, look what happened here in verse 59 of chapter 24. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they what? Blessed Rebecca and said to her, notice the spoken word, our sister. This is siblings blessing their sibling. Do you see that? Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Do you see the special future? This is all given. And see, let's realize today that for men and for women, for boys and girls, the blessing is available. You say, I don't know if I've got a blessing to give. If you've received Jesus Christ, you've already received this blessing. Now you are an instrument of the blessing. And if you have not received it, I want you to know that you can do that today. You say, okay, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? I'm glad you asked. Mark chapter 10, you see Jesus blessing the children. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Do you see that? To place his what? Hands on them. But the disciples rebuked him. There's always some religious folk that'll get in the way. If you decide you want to be an instrument of blessing, there'll be somebody out there to say, you don't have to do all that. Amen, Brian. Preach a little while. And I hope that's not you today. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. I want you to know that Jesus is interested in us blessing each other. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Moving further into the New Testament, look at the Apostle Paul blessing Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Do you hear the spoken words? My dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you imagine that today? When you come around your people to pronounce blessing, grace, mercy and peace from Jesus Christ. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the accounts of the blessing, but let's see the actions today. The actions of the blessing, remember I gave you three words. How many words did I give you? It's going to describe how many elements? Five. So let's go through that. This comes from the book called The Blessing. By the way, I would totally recommend this book to anybody. Amen, Mandy? It's a life changer, isn't it? I loaned it to Mandy or whatever. Mandy received the book, read the book, and got her family members reading the book. It is powerful. It's a family changer. From the book, The Blessing by Dr. John Trent, let's talk about connection. Two elements. First, meaningful, appropriate touch. Write that down. Meaningful, appropriate touch. That's where we lay hands on the person we're going to bless. That's been happening ever since the Old Testament times. In the book of Acts, chapter number 6, when the first deacons were set apart, what did the Bible say they did? They laid their hands on them. If somebody would come today to ask for prayer, they would come and ask for prayer. You know what we would do? We would lay hands upon them. It's a conference of approval. It is a part of the blessing. Maybe I'll talk about this sometime at length, but there's 6,000 touch receptors in your hands. And just the touching of somebody raises hemoglobin levels in your system, which carries happy messengers throughout your body. It gets to the brain, and all of a sudden oxytocin is produced and connections are being made. It is a proven fact that if you touch your children, hug your children, they're going to do better. Children, no one is created to be completely isolated and separated. Meaningful, appropriate touch. The second one is attaching high value. Attaching high value. When you bless someone, you attach high value. The word bless, you remember the definitions? The word bless means to bow the knee and to add a coin. The definition, the actual definition, is to esteem as valuable and to add value. When you bless someone, you do not put them down. When you bless someone, you raise them up. You see them as valuable and you raise them up. Let me... You have that picture from last night that happened at the last, Michael, I want to share with them what happened last night when that man came up and closed us out. Maybe you have that picture. Anybody recognize these people? Say it. Who is that? Brian and Pam Comer. You know what happened last night? That man brought his wife up here and she sat there and he pronounced a blessing over his wife. He esteemed her as valuable and raised her by attaching value. and attaching high value to your life. And it was moving. There's power in the blessing. I asked her, I said, how you doing? She couldn't even talk. In fact, 90% of the people in here couldn't talk. This is something we've got to learn to do. That's the connection. Let's go to communication. What is communication? It's the spoken word. In fact, what this man did, he took something like this, and he framed it, and he wrote out the blessing and gave it to his spouse. What do you think she'll do with that? You think she'll take it somewhere and just throw it in a corner? No, it's going to be somewhere prominent throughout her life. Speaking the truth in love, speaking the high-value words over your children and your people that are important to you. That's an element of the blessing. You can't bless without the spoken word. There's also the special future. This man came up and said, we've been married 31 years, and for the rest of the time, we're going to be together. There's a special future. Isn't that what we need in our world now? That's communication. You cannot bless without communicating. Then there's commitment. Commitment is the actions that follow, right? It's actions. It's what we're going to do. You see, if this man comes up and he says, we've been married 31 years and we're heading for 60, but if he's intending on leaving in 2 or 3 years, that's no actions. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say to you today, don't try to fake the blessing. Don't say things you're not willing to back up. Don't say that you're going to do something like that and then don't do it. Commitment is a part of the blessing. Don't fake it. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear somebody put it on and say things that they don't mean. That's the actions. Meaningful, appropriate touch, attaching high value, the spoken word, the special future, and the actions that follow. If you get that down, you're going to know how to bless.